women's shir chavos halvavos Sunday night shara vodas alokim, and we're actually up to Perek Yud. We started Perek Yud, we'll start it again. And the bulletin it said we're almost finished, but we'll see how long Perek Yud takes us. Perek Yud's very interesting Perek. Avodas alokim, you know. When we make the Siyum B'li Neder, I hope Be'ezus Hashem to give a summary and to show how we learned a lot of different things, but it really is all connected. It really flows. Chavos Halvavos is very structured sefer, very rational and structured, and one step leads to another step. And maybe I didn't bring it out that well in Shar Avodas Elokim. In Shar Bitochon, it's much easier to do. Shara Avodas Elokim, sometimes he seems like he's all over the place. But I hope to bring it all together when we make a Siyum Be'ezus Hashem, and I'll give a summary, and I'll try to connect the dots. Perek Yud is connected to something he said in Perek Tes, which is that where he painted a picture of a person being a microcosm of an entire universe. He painted a picture of a city, and the person is the melech of the city, and he has all these servants, and he describes the physical part of the person, right? You got the garbage collectors taking out the waste from the body, and you have factories manufacturing chemicals, and you have all, and he describes it so beautifully. Remember, this is over 1,000 years ago. He describes them as servants of the king, and then he talks about the spiritual side of a person, that he has advisors, and some advisors tell him do this, and some advisors tell him do that. And so, a point that he made in Perek Tes, in the ninth Perek, is that you are in control. You're not, a person is not the victim of all of these forces. A person is the melech of the city. You're the governor of this great enterprise, and you tell them what to do. Don't let them tell you what to do. It's not your children. No. my generation, my parents told me what to do. In my lifetime, that shifted. So, and therefore, really, the premise of Perek Yud is that you are in control. You have the ability to be in control, and you have to exercise. And all of the different midos, and he talked in Perek Tes, how a person is so full of different attributes, with anger and joy and nervousness and stinginess and generosity and a whole list of midos. And I will employ each one. He mentioned in Perek Tes, in Perek Yud he's going to show how and when. But in Perek Tes he already established the principle that I am the melech, the governor over this city, this, and I tell people what to do. I have the ability to. I'm in charge, and I can employ my. And now he will say how he will teach us how. We call it. I want to access joy now. I want to access anger. I want to access stinginess. I want to access mourning. I want to access sorrow. I want to. We can do it. And a person is supposed to be, I mean, again, I've said this many times, when we learn Chavos Halvavos, it sounds like he's talking about some utopia, that some world that none of us will ever inhabit. And you say, well, let's learn some sefer that's more relevant to us. But there's nothing like the Chavos Halvavos. And he paints, you know, it's like reading, sometimes you read a fiction novel. I don't know nowadays, I haven't read anything good in many decades. But the idea of fiction really is supposed to be, if it's worth anything, it's like there's a hero. right? And you see an ideal, and you see a person, I'm talking about, like, let's say, even good literature, and you see somebody doing something and it's heroic, or he overcomes adversity, or he's misgaber on a midah, whatever it may be. And it's like an ideal, maybe it's called romantic literature. I hope I have it right. And in art also, it's like you paint something, maybe it's not very real, because nothing's that perfect, and nobody is that good, and nobody is that heroic. But you paint the picture of the way things should be. It's like you paint the picture of an ideal, and then I think that's the Torah way. You want to have a picture of what's ideal, and then you strive for that. And every time you take a step towards the ideal, that's a victory. You don't have to reach the ideal. The ideal is like I said, laboratory conditions. This is a tzaddik. This is someone that's perfect. You know, we would be happy if we, you know, but again, you have to know what to strive for. And if you lower your sights, then everything gets lowered. Like this, you know what you're striving for, and you work towards it. And first of all, you keep working your whole life, because one would rarely get to the madrega that he's talking about. But it's good. I feel it's good to know what's ideal. As long as you don't get depressed by it, as long as you realize it, as long as, like, I'm speaking it out. The Chavetz Chaim, this is not telling you the rock bottom minimum that you have to do. Chas v'shalom. He's talking about the Superman. He's talking about the ideal tzaddik, how a tzaddik thinks, how a tzaddik acts, what's ideal. And now we try. We do our best. And maybe once a day we have, like, a good thought. Once a day we take a step towards the ideal, or we overcome something, and we keep our mouths shut instead of talking, or we don't get angry, or we do something with total sincerity and no one's looking, and that's great. And you do it because, you know, we learned that that's what you were shooting for. So he's going to talk in extremes, and he talks in extremes, and in Bitachon also he talked in extremes. And again, it's definitely worthwhile, and you have to learn it and see it. And it's true. It's truth. I mean, we can't water down the truth just to make it more palatable to people. So it's scary when you learn it, and you say, so you have to have it explained that we're not saying that we're going to walk out of here today and be an Oved Elokim 24/7 the way he wants us to be. But you pound away about gratitude, and everything should be based on gratitude, and you just keep repeating it and repeating it, perhaps ad nauseum. You know, I do my best, it shouldn't be that way. And once a day we stop and we say, you know, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. It's Rabbi Victor Miller's that sells 10th Yard site. So there were a lot of articles about him and stories in the newspapers and the magazines. They, 10 years, so they make an issue of it. There was a story, I think I saw in Hamodia magazine. There was an article about him. And a grandson of his died tragically. He basically went about his business that day, saying shiurim and welcoming people to the shiur. If you didn't know, you wouldn't know. And he said a hesped, and he worked it out in his schedule. But he just, and you know, people asked him about it, and he said, you know, if Hashem has showered me with so much good for 80 years, let's say, he said 80 years, whatever it is, and now something bad happens, I should like reject everything, and I should get angry. You know, once in a while you get a patch also that doesn't change the nature of all the good that he did for me. So, gratitude, really Shara Vodos Elokim teaches us that we have to constantly remind ourselves to thank Hashem and to be grateful and to have the mindset of a grateful person, which is Sameach Bechelko, and that's the whole mindset. Yes.
English phrase, reach for the stars. At least you may not reach them, but you won't get stuck in the mud.
Oh, okay. So, as I say, and he wants to do everything out of great gratitude, right? Chavis Halvavah says that's the whole foundation of our Avodas Elokim is gratitude. So, once a day, we manage to say, Taka, wow, indeed. So that's something. He wants us to do it when we do everything, when we hear a shofar, when we sit in a sukkah, when we take challah, when we look at the mezuzah. We always should do it with a sense of gratitude. Thank you, Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim. Thank you, Hashem, you gave me life. Thank you, Hashem, you gave all the birchas hashachar, right? Asher yotzar, everything. Thank you, Hashem, that I can breathe, that I can think, that I can talk, that I can walk, that I can... everything. That's what we say in Nishmas, that there's no end. And anachna maspikim, lohodos l'cha Hashem alokeinu v'lkei avoseinu. Halachas me'olot alfei alofim v'ribei v'avos pa'im matavos yosichim al tzinim imonu. V'mishayim gol tonu Hashem alokeinu v'itavet v'itzonu b'roz and tonu tzukum v'lkei. Right? I won't... The Haredi world doesn't recognize Yom HaShoah. With good reason. I mean, there's many reasons why not. If you want to close the Chavis Halvavah, I'll tell you the reasons. But we don't. It's inappropriate. First, so many reasons, I don't know where to start.
Nisan
is one of the reasons, but it just shows you the secular aspect of it. It's not a Torah Dikka. The Torah Dikka would make it Tisha B'Av, would make it part of Tisha B'Av. I forgot my point. What was my point? Why did I segue into that? Eretz Yisrael, that was the point, that they tried to, we came back to Eretz Yisrael, even if we don't celebrate Yom, even if the Haredi world doesn't celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, that's the Medina. So Chav Heir, I'm not Heir, but that we came back to Eretz Yisrael, and it's amazing. How could we stop thanking Hashem for taking us from the depths of nothingness to half the Jews in the world living in Eretz Yisrael in the space of 1.5 generations, 2.5 generations. Miracle is a very mild word. You have to read the book Startup Nation. You read a book? There's a book, Startup Nation. It's a secular book, nothing to do with Hashem, but you read it and you really realize the miracle of Israel, because it talks about just the economy of Israel, how resilient it is, how creative it is, how brilliant it is, how they... Startup Nation is called, how they have the most startup companies and the most money flows here. And it's a nace. And look at the situation with, now we're totally surrounded by Goloi enemies. A year ago it was secret enemies, now everything's Begoloi, totally surrounded. You know a map? And so today they woke up and realized that every place in Israel could be reached by a Katyusha rockets. Today they woke up and said, uh-oh. maybe they should have thought of that before they destroyed Gush Katif, right? Before they gave away the Sinai to Egypt. Maybe someone should have thought then. It's also Me'es Menashemayim, because it's... how stupid a clever people could be, right? It's also an ace. It's an ace the other way. Because it's all without Hashem. I don't know why. I don't mean to say I know why. Nobody knows why anything happens. I'm not a Navi, But the Mahalach is that there's not enough, there's no attribution to Hashem, or not enough attribution to Hashem. And when it's the whole world against us, even our supposed friends, Baruch Hashem, in a certain way, Baruch Hashem, now no less and less people think every day that America's our friend. So then, who's left? So Hashem, he's the only one left. We only have one friend left. When we realize we only have one friend left, then that'll be a great Kiddush Hashem. Okay, so, but we have to be grateful that we're living in Eretz Yisrael, right? Like, who would have thought? Who would have thought that the Jews would find a refuge, and with all the enemies around us, we're flourishing, mamish flourishing. That's why you have to read Startup Nation. If you believe in Hashem, there's no mention of Hashem in the book, but if you're a mamin and you read the book, you get such chizuk and such hodah, you feel such gratitude to Hashem, and you realize what a nace. And then the center of Torah, someone should write a book about Startup Nation in Ruchnius. Startup yeshivas, right? how many yeshivas there are, and every mktsoa in Torah, and all the creativity that's coming out in all of Shas, the creativity of Sfarim, of Chidushim, of Halacha, in every area in Torah. There's no, like, it seems like there's no area in Torah that's not covered by Sfarim, and more Sfarim, and like 50 new Sfarim come out a day. I think a Sfarim store told me. It's uncanny. And the center is in Eretz Yisrael. When did it happen? Where we say in the Haftorah, Miu Ladli Asela. Where did everybody come from? What was this country? 100 years ago, what was here? Really. So we have to have gratitude. We have to, so say, if you have gratitude, why don't you say Hallel, right? Okay, because Hallel is a technicality that we don't accept that particular day as being anything special, because we're not so sure the Medina is such a good thing. Eretz Yisrael is wonderful. Medina Yisrael is not so great. So that's the question. That's the ideological question between the different groups in Klal Yisrael, is how to view the Medina. There shouldn't be any issue about Eretz Yisrael, right? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael, and we're zochet to live here. It shouldn't be an issue. It should have it's nothing to do with Medina Yisrael. Even if you take the position that the Medina is call it bad or secular or anti, it's not posh. There's a lot of, it's very confusing. Confusing. It's a confusing world we live in. Okay, enough of that, and now we have to learn some of Perek Yud. So you control your personality. I don't want to hear, Chagalov doesn't want to hear, oh, I'm lazy, oh, I'm sad, I'm this, I'm that. You control what you are. That's what we should have walked away from Perek Tes with. You are the Melech, you're in control. We're talking about people, we're talking about, regular, normal people. Certainly, some people are ill, and sometimes they can't control. So that's an illness. But we're talking, a healthy person should be able to do this. Now, it doesn't look. We think that there are. The perspective is that I'm going to take hold of myself, and I'm going to. We don't think of our being able to control our emotions. Like we feel we're the victim of our emotions, and we sort of try to tread water that we don't get carried away with them, and we don't do anything extreme or rash because of our emotions. But a lot of us will have none of that. He wants you to control. He wants you to access joy. Let's learn. You'll see his examples. He wants you to access joy and access sorrow when it's called for. When joy is called for, be joyful. Unleash your koach of joy, and you're in charge. So you call out those troops. Call upon, order your emotion of joy to rush forth. So how you can do it, so that, you know, maybe the Chavis HaLevavos doesn't explain how. He just is convinced that you can. And he says you can, but the truth is that now you have a lot of books, psychology books, even self-help books. Zalek Pliskin's books are very good about this. It's called accessing certain emotions. You want to put yourself in a certain mood, you can do so. You can, you know, you call joyful moments, you think about things a certain way, and you can actually create being joyful. You can do it. Chavis HaLevavos just says you can. How to do it, you know, is not here. If we need help how to do it, so there are books that tell you how to be happy, you know, how to bring out these emotions, what to think about in order to do so. Let's learn the Chavis HaLevavos. Omer HaNefesh, right, we're still in the dialogue between the Nefesh and the Seichel. Kvar havinosi, I understand ma'amarcha, everything you've told me, v'hikshavti, I paid attention, l'chol ma'asha zucharta, v'ani mischanenes al kvodecha, this is the nefesh talking to the seichel, I am begging of you, shetvorli amakomos, give me some examples, asher eshtamish b'hen, where I will use b'mashubuch, what's ostensibly praiseworthy midos, praiseworthy attributes. I say ostensibly because his point is going to be that there are times when you do this and times when you call up that. It's true, most of a Jew should always be besimcha, for example. But there are times when you need the emotion of sorrow, and he'll say when, and you should be able to access it and unleash it. That's his point. Tell me, give him some examples, and he's going to give a whole bunch of examples, a duality of each midah and its opposite, and tell you when to unleash this and when to unleash that. Asher behishtamshi bohen, and if I use it properly, and I do it lishma, I do it to serve Hashem, I do it because it's what Hashem wants, I know in each situation how Hashem would like me to feel, Yishabchuni aleihem, it will be praiseworthy, v'yodu shimushi b'hen. I mean, just, you know, we know Rachmanus is like good. You say, oh, Rachmanim, Jews are Rachmanim, Jews are take pity on others, they have chemla, they have rachamim, but we know that Shaul made a very tragic mistake when he let the Midas Rachmanus overflow, and he used it in an inappropriate time and place with Agog, Melech HaMolech, and that was terrible. It brought tragedy among the Jewish people. Even nowadays, when you have pity on a murderer, people have pity, capital punishment, right? And they call up the Midas Rachmanus inappropriately. If you have Rachmanus on Rishayim, well, people are trying to kill you, right? There's nothing worse than Kas, right? Kas is like the worst thing. But there are times when you should be Bekas against people doing wicked things. So you should be Bekas and stir yourself to fight them. And not just accept it meekly, but you have to get angry. You have to be indignant. So those are the types of things he's going to talk about. Amar Aseichel, Midosecha Rabos. Oh boy, we got a long, long, long list. And Perek Yud, we don't want to make Perek Yud so long. So Azkir L'chol Mehen, I'll mention a few. Mashin is Daming Li B'Ktzara. Yeah, talks conversationally. I'll tell you a couple things I thought of in passing, you know. But there's really a much longer laundry list. So he gives a few examples. Hu shebemidos secha, in your personality, shtei midos hein. We find two attributes, two personality traits, hasimcha, being happy, joyful, being in a good mood, and avel, mourning, being morose, sad, depressed, downer, vein zu keneged zu. So they're opposites. So when do you access simcha? So what he's going to say is, Well, the words he's going to say is that simcha is called for what should make you happy. So again, he looks at it's a spectrum. So he's going to the end of the spectrum, what should make you happy, like really happy, without any tinge of sadness, like supreme happiness, ideal happiness. And he's going to talk about the other end. So supreme happiness, what would it be, he says. Supreme happiness is Vofani Hashimish Basimcha Kshetivtechi, if you're sure Bahanoa Kayemes Tamid. When would you be truly happy without any tinge of sadness? When you know it's going to last and it's not going to come to an end. Velotis Ari Botuga, and no sorrow will be mixed into it, right? Many times there's a simcha in which there's some aggravating feature to it, some sadness mixed in. We'll explain in a second. V'lo yiro lecha pega, and nothing's going to come along and ruin it for you. So when that is existent, hatiri hamida hazu. So that's when you unleash. That's when you unleash this midah of simcha. So now obviously he's talking about Olam Haba. And he's talking about, in other words, right, let's say we walk around saying mitzvah gedola lios b'simcha tamid. Let's take that as a truth. And we know from other psukim, from psukim, because let's say Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Cheluk Olam Haba. I look around everybody in this room and I say, at the end of the day, everybody is going to be just totally happy and no sorrow will be involved in it. It's going to be a totally joyful experience. And it's going to last forever. You don't have to worry it's going to come to an end. It's not temporary, it's permanent. La'olam, la'netzach is going to be simcha, and no sorrow, and nothing's going to spoil it. And so that means, so you'll be simcha. In other words, what he's saying is, so that's what you should, that's what you should be happy about. But that means that a Jew should always walk around with an undercurrent of simcha, right? Because our lives have a point, have a purpose. Because we have this at the end of the road. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba. We have at the end of the road. We know we're doing things with a purpose of being totally joyful, totally l'hisanek al Hashem. Lanetzach, and that's what we're looking at. So, and that's what should make you happy, and that's why we should always be happy, and that's why the aggravations of life and the problems of life should not get us sad. Only in as much as they take us away from Avodas Hashem, which we'll say in a few moments. But otherwise, that's, you know, that's not going to stare. The simcha that I'm accessing, that I'm calling forth to be besimcha because of this model simcha that I'm facing and that I know that is coming. So that means, so when I think, in other words, I unleash the simcha when I realize that my life has a point and that I'm serving Hashem. Because that's a simcha in which there's no to which there's no downside. So that's when you unleash simcha. That's on one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, Avol Mokom Hashimish Be'evil, what should you be sad about? Should you be sad about if you lost $10,000? If your stock went down? If you got fired from your job? Should that make you sad? Just not really. Not really. Again, we're on a spectrum. What really should make you see it is if you have something, and then now we're going to give the flip side. Ki yifgosh chadover mitzayr kayam tamid, something that's horrible, horrible, and will never come to an end. Ve'em b'cha yecholas l'tchoso, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's too late. you can't change matters. It's done. It's a done deal. The lo ponim the sporig bimenu, and you can't escape it. You think you could, you're going to run away. You can't run away. That's it. And obviously, we're talking about la'asid lavo, and right, that's a tzara, that if chas v'shalom, if a person then has angered Hashem and hasn't pleased Hashem, so then he has what to be upset about and angry and sorrow. Right, a person comes to Shemayim and they tell him, or her, you know, if you don't have kavanah in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, like you're not yotze, so you, they say, you know, I'm sorry. He said, what do you mean? I davened like 18 million times in my life, or it seems that way. You know, we have like 3 tfilos to your credit here in the ledger. 3 tfilos? Let me see that. Whose name you have there? Maybe you spelled my name wrong. And they say, no, like, you didn't really have kavanah. You didn't imagine that you were talking to Hashem, which it says in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, we're not talking Kabbalah, we're talking... You're supposed to imagine that you're standing in front of Hashem talking to him. You did that like 4 times. Amalach just brought us a 4th time that you did it. So then that should make you sad. That's sadness that you squandered and you wasted, and now you're facing something where there's no escape from. You can't, it's too late. It's not like absolute sadness. So absolute simcha is a simcha which is not impinged by anything bad, and it's going to last forever, and nothing can spoil it, and nobody can take it away from you. And at the other end of the spectrum, we have the... So when we go through life, this is what he's saying. And we say, okay, I just lost $25,000 in the stock market. Should that make me sad? So your measuring rod should be, does it take me away from ultimate joy, or does it lead me towards ultimate sorrow? What does it mean to my avodas Hashem? That's how you're going to determine how you're going to feel about it. We're not talking about a bitachon that we learn about and how a person should react to bad news and call my David Rachmano Latava, but I'm not talking about any of that. We're talking about now my emotions. I am in control of my emotions. Should losing $10,000 make me sad? So you have to measure it against, you know, he says, what should really make you sad is something that there's no escape from and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's like forever, and that's it, and you're stuck. So that's how you have to measure things. So now, you know, when things of a very ephemeral nature happen, and it's something silly, you know, a person gets sad because he wasn't invited to a certain chasana. Really, you know? So the Chag of Lovos wants us to sit up and say, like, that's silly. Like, why should that make me sad? Why should that make me upset? That's... In the scheme of things, that's nothing. It's marish. Why should I? He's describing what would call for unleashing simcha, and what would call for unleashing sadness. Sadness is, oh my goodness, I went through a whole day yesterday, and I didn't daven properly. I yelled at my kids, you know, in terms of. Yelled at my kids, and I created a bad atmosphere in my home. That should make you sad. That's sad. I lost $10,000. No, nobody, you don't believe it. Okay. As I said, he's talking in extremes here, but there's a spectrum, and that's how you should measure. He talks about another 2 midos, v'hem hamora, being afraid, v'atikva, and being hopeful. So pessimism and optimism. Umokam hamora, what should you be afraid of? Shatiya b'inyan shemevi yala inyan shayitzarecha. What you should be afraid of is something that will harm you indeed. V'lotiya lo achrisa tova, and it will harm you in a way that you can't get out of it. The aim koach v'yecholus l'tcholso me'olecho. So you should be, you're afraid of Gehenna, right? You're afraid of punishment, right? Nowadays, people we don't talk about being punished. It's not good PR, but that's certainly an aspect of Yiddishkeit. It's not. It shouldn't be our motivator, hopefully, but it's there, and that's what you should be afraid of. You shouldn't be afraid of someone that's, you know, that's threatening to harm you. That's not really, your fear should be something that's everlasting, something that you can't escape from, something that leads you down the road to a not good place. That's what you should be afraid of. What makes you expectant and hopeful, that you practice doing things that will lead to good things, that will lead to mitzvahs, without anything blocking it, so you should be anxious, good anxious in a good sense. You should anticipate and be hopeful of doing mitzvahs, and fearful of punishment. And that's all. And everything else should be measured against these